Okay, we're in Parashas Mishpatim here, and the piece is in the Sefer, it's Amud Kuf Samach Hei. It's a continuation of Rabbeinu Bechaya about Kshafim vis-a-vis Kodesh. In other words, the first pshat had an element, a description of Kishuv as sort of being at loggerheads with Kedusha, Kochas Atuma, and so on, and we spoke about it last time. Now there's a Rabbeinu Chananel that he brings that argues. Avol Dasar Ben Chananel Zal bePirushim Sanhedrin Makchishin. He says Nirin Kil Makchishin. They appear to deny. And he says Rabbi Chai explains that Kshafim magic has only the range of activities that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it. And he brings Rabbi Chanina who told a woman Einod Molvado. That Rabbi Chanina said magic does not have universal powers, and the Gemara answers, well, that's only Rabbi Chanina who had great tzchusim. So Rabbi Chananel says that it is something, therefore, that the Gemara's teretz is not, that's not the maskana of the Gemara, and at the end of the day, there is nothing in Kishuv that could be makhish from all Shomala that could deny Pamar Shomala. So Rabbeinu Chananel or Rabbeinu Bechaya in Rabbeinu Chananel asks him Tishal. Ki v'shein nekshafim pulal b'makshach shorach goyze loma sasatorav loma chayit misum chashir. So if we understand Kishuv as being an alternate power of sorts, we understand that it's something which is terribly sir. It's kind of similar to Avodah Zarah in some ways, but if you're telling me that it's all divinely ordained, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them certain powers and so on, why are you chayev misa? So he says, "Vatam mipnei she'avar gzeirasa she'Kadosh Baruch Hu laseis ma'ashenim namenu." The reason is because he's being over on the gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that which he's not supposed to. And now he says, it's just like if somebody is over on the gzeir of Malach Basav Adam, you chayev misa. Certainly, if you're over on Gezer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't dvar himself. So this is all a quote from Chananel. Now, and then he adds that the reason why the Pasuk now has to speak about it, it doesn't really, really fit into the framework of Pasuk Mishpatim. Mishpatim all deals with civil law. He says because Kal Yisrael is very used to this, to Kishuv, in Mitzrayim that was full of Kishuv, and it was something which people would make a mistake and they would continue, therefore the Pasuk had to come around and answer it. Yes?
Really, I'm a little bit confused. I mean, on the one hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel seems to be saying that Kshafim is only what Hashem would be go there to allow to happen, and then he's saying
right.
That you're chayev because you're going against what Hashem
right.
would go there.
Well, let's take a second look. Let's think a bit about the what he says over here, because it's not as simple as it sounds. It's problematic. There is a Rambam Shita, which is, we don't have it here, but we will have it later on in Purim Shaitim, where he speaks about Kishuv and describes Kishuv as being simply an illusion, and it's a total sheker, and it's something which allows for various mistakes to be perpetrated through this illusion. So that's a simple sheet to understand it that way. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, it actually works. On the other hand, it's not actually an alternative koach. What's very hard to understand is, did Rabbeinu Chananel think that there are sheetas, even the one who holds makchish and pamaya shel maila, did he think that there actually is another koach? I mean, that would be Avodah Zarah. I mean, it always has to be that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two types of two ways of dealing with the Bria, one through Teva, one through Kishuv. Both of them God created. God wanted Teva, God did not want Kishuv. So why is it? So everyone has to admit to that. It's impossible. I mean, it's machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says makchishim pamalei shomala, and Reb Chanina says, you know, that he was above that. Did Rav Hanan understand that there were shitas that held that it actually was another koach outside of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's frame of reference? I don't know. That's a very hard piece to understand. If somebody holds, if Rav Hanan feels someone holds like that, that person is an apikoros, basically. He's positing that there's another force in the B'yip besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, once we say, he asks, so why is it so bad? And he says it's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was gozer. Well, so that means basically it's like any other chok. No real rhyme or reason behind why it's bad. Just because Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. And so we're losing out a whole level of explanation as to why it's bad. Without Rabban Hanan, the way the previous Yishanim learned it, the understanding is HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly created it, but it's something that the entire framework appears to be outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's realm. You use all sorts of kohos of Tumah, which on the surface level to us seem to be an alternative. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov, then anything to do with Ra is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore anything we do that involves Ra is anti-Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the illusion of it is an illusion of anti-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Machishim Hamalash Ma'al is Nira. So that would seem to be the husband. That's sort of what he begins saying. But then he says, well, why doesn't he say it's like Avodah Zarah? When a person eats Chaza, it doesn't appear to present an alternative to Kadosh Baruch Hu, just eating Chaza. He's hungry or doesn't care for it. But when a person worships Avodah Zarah, and similarly when a person does Kishuv, a person is presenting an alternative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kfira. That seems to be the Mahalach, and Rabban Hanan is very hard to understand his Kasha, as if some others hold that it actually is Makrish Mahal Shamala, and the Teretz, where it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Golza. Those are the things that are difficult to understand. I don't have a resolution for it. I want to add one more point. It says the Makhishim Pamalya Shalmala. The Pamalya Shalmala could be a type of metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pamalya Shalmala could also mean the Hanhaga of Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain Hanhaga of Toiv and Ra and Malachim. A Kishuv presents an alternative to that. That, you know, there's the system, and then there is the gray area system. It's just like you can get something done legally, and you can get it done underhandedly. You're getting the same thing done, but you're going through a different system. So, you know, you can pass a driving test by doing the test and doing well. You can pass a driving test by slipping out a few dollars, and you get the same sheet of paper, the same license. So at the end of the day, you both have licenses, but you got it through various different ways. The Pamalya Shamayla might well be referring to the structure that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants in place for interacting with the Bria, and you are substituting something else. But be it as it may, Rabbeinu Chalal Shita is a little hard to understand what he felt others held. What, did he actually entertain the thought that someone holds means literally Makrishin? And secondly, decision over here why is it especially so bad? The fact that the Oyvan Gzera Kadosh Baruch Hu was true about a mitzvah sese, if you don't eat matzah on Pesach, you're being Oyvan Gzera Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the next one is the mitzvah of halva in Kesef Talvas Ami. So the Chinuch says Shorosh HaMitzvah Shirotzar Kelius Bruv Melumadim Umurgolim B'Midas HaChesed Rachmim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants people to be Bali Chesed. Kimidim Shabachas. Mitaych Hech Shagufam B'Midas HaTovos Yiruim Nekabolos HaTova. K'me Shamanu Shechalos HaTova Brachal Olam Al HaTov Lo Beth Feicho. U'Behetev Hashem Yisbaruch L'Tovim Yushlam Chefzo Shechofetz L'Hetev L'Olam. So the Chinuch says there are 3 points in one sentence. One, the nature of the schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us is called Tov. And to be able to be Mekabel Tov, you need to be a Tov. And when we have that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is Mismale, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be made it. These are three separate points. Let's go point by point. If I were to tell you, let's take two children. One child grew up in a very warm and caring and loving family. His parents expressed a love to him, sibling, as much as sibling can, and friends and neighbors. So that person has a sense of what it is to be loved, the special feeling of warmth, of a kesher with another person, of a bond. All of these things are built into the person. When I now go to this person, let's say he's a chavrus of mine, and I give him a gift for having learned, for having had like a wonderful zman together, we really learned well, and I give him something. So the person gets the gift, let's say the set of svarim, or whatever tzatzka I give, and he's also capable of receiving the feelings of warmth and love and the sense of the self that comes along with giving a gift. On the other hand, imagine a child who grows up as a foundling and in a very cold environment, no love, no care, nothing like that. So he hasn't developed in himself any sense of ever receiving love or things like that. When you give him a gift, he might appreciate the gift itself as such. Well, I own something I didn't own before. I own an iPad or whatever it is, and that he can appreciate because he does have the sense of owning things. But the sense of the love that I give and I'm expressing by giving the gift is he has no way to receive that because there's no kli kibbul in himself to be mekabel it. You know, you see sometimes people have this background and they're very, when somebody makes a personal gesture, they're very uncomfortable because they've never dealt with it and they just don't have any way or any mature way of accepting something like that because they just don't have the kesher to it. The sense of, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schar is not a thing that he gives, it's the nena miziv hashchina, and the substance of that is tov. I know it's an abstract word, but at least we have some muscle to go back. And a person who's not tov doesn't have an appreciation for it. Unless the person has appreciation for kedusha, a sefer Torah, tefillin, don't have much meaning. Kedusha, so when since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mohus is tov, so a person who is a tov can someday be nene from that tov, and if not, he doesn't have it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many, many mitzvahs to build tov in us so that we could possibly receive that schar. And the final loop in that is that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be meitiv. It is midarko of the tov to be meitiv. You either find it in Sulas Sharma, you can find it in Ramchal, or you can find it in the Song of Shvaki Song, but there's a derech of the tov is lahitiv. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get schar in Gan Eden. So if when a person gets schar, he's doing Ratzon Hashem. The deeper knache is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the schar is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The schar is the nene miziv hashchina, which is a kesher with shchina, and therefore that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. So it's a bond that sort of clicks in itself in many ways. Another point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to give charity. Sheratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, we skipped the sentence before, it says, Nimlam mitzat shoshet, not for that, because Rav wants us to be good. Haloi hu baruch hu yaspik l'oni dey machzor z'loseinu. He could feed on him. Asoi mechas baruch hu shenaseinu shluchim l'olus kuseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us shluchim to do his job and so on. And it's a big, it's something that should guide us in giving tzedakah. And you know, most of us, the problem is not how much we give, the how much is dictated by our finances, and you know, miser, maybe a chomesh, fortunately very few of us are really in a league where we can give boundless amounts. But the ability to give so much, but the nisoyin for a lot of us is the irritation factor. You know, the third set of four mishalachim knocking on the door, the middle of the supper, the irritating mishalach. Someone told me he lives in Lawrence, and you know, like it says by Noach, like he sent out the Yonah, he sent out the Arif to see if it's dry or not. He said the first sign that the flood had somewhat receded was 2 days later, three mishalachim appeared in Lawrence. And people were very, very annoyed and upset and angry. You know, it's definitely to be understood. But on the other hand, a person needs to see, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me in this position because he wants me to be a maitiv. Akash Baruch Hu sometimes uses anius to be mezachir a person. One is the Kabbalah Sabbosis Masher Kigiloi, you know, to have the humiliation of having to receive mizonos from somebody else. But since mizonos, and whatever you get from others is never enough. Okay, as a shemag is a kaseinu, heishiv chachmei chachameinu nechat shasholot to Gemara, yes, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves aniyim, why doesn't he finance them, and so on. He said, this is the answer to it. Akapanim, he says these two things. I want to add another thing. The Chinuch doesn't say it here. I just want to add something about the mitzvah of halva l'ani. Halva is stressed more strongly in a sense than tzedakah, in the fact that you can't losielo kenosha. It's written first in the Torah and so on. It's written separately. One would think that it's a kal vachomer. Well, if we have to give tzedakah, well, certainly it's much easier to give money, to lend money, and so on. The answer, I think, is as follows. There's a vort from Isaac Sher used to say that people don't mind giving tzedakah as long as the other person knows that I gave them the tzedakah. In other words, giving tzedakah, I have to part with my money, but the sense that it's me that gave it to you remains. And it's also buying something in a sense, and I get a certain sense of satisfaction, superiority, etc. When I lend somebody money to open a business, I lend them $100,000, the person keeps it for a year or two, the business develops, the person is now well-to-do on his own, gave me back the money. The sense that I gave it to him, yes, I gave him a loan, I have much less of a sense of that. So on the one hand, the person feels much better about himself, the one who got the loan, I mean, he's now sitting on his own feet and so on. It's also, I gave the money, I lost the money for 2 years, I couldn't use it, but now I'm, you know, now I feel good about it. That is the mahalach of what maybe why halva has a chshivist it over tzedakah.
Rebbe?
Yes.
How does the reasoning of the chinuch here, how does that play into giving to local Jews versus to Jews who are not nearby versus giving to non-Jews and the like?
I guess the question when we get to Sarhal to Salim, that's where we should go into it. But just to talk about it, there's two things. First of all, it is something which a lot of times it's harder because your own people is sort of frustrating and so on. But there's a deeper nekuda, and I think that that goes to a lot to the heart of it. When you give, when your child is a grown up and he needs money, wants money, asks you, you grumble because at the end of the day he's taken it from you, b'teira's responsibility, that you're responsible to give it to him, rather than b'teira's that you're doing him a favor. If people that are close to you, there's the sense of entitlement that gets on your nerves. You can't say, well, I helped my brother, I gave him a lot of tzedakah, and everyone says, well, it's your brother, of course you should. It's a higher darga when I'm giving something I don't have to give, but I'm giving it out of a sense of responsibility and so on. Okay. It's the same reason people, for instance, somebody once remarked, there are people that are such nice, wonderful people, but at home to their spouse, they're very difficult. And you know, one is that there's a difference between doing something constantly and doing something, at random times when I feel like doing it. There's also a difference, obviously, because there's a bilateral relationship, so my giving to my spouse is also affected by the reciprocity. But more than anything else is, at home, the sense is you have to be a mensch. To others, you are a tzaddik if you're a mensch. And then, so when you're tzaddik, this is a compensation. When it's okay, you have to do. Of course, you have to not lose your temper. So that's much harder, I think. Okay, the next pasuk is Elohim lo sekal of nasan cholisor. You shouldn't curse a shofet or a king, a nasi of sorts. The Matzonim say that there are three madregas. Your friend, it says, Vahaftala Echa Kamecha. You can be expected to love a friend. A brother, it says, Lysisno Chichabu Vavecha. You can't be expected to love a brother, but at best you can't hate him. A judge, a king, a judge, somebody in authority, you can't be expected not to hate, but at least don't curse him. But it's Shalol Lekalos, so the Chinuch explains. Shalol Lekalos Anosi Shnema V'Nosam Chosar. And Nosi says means a king, or Rosh Sanhedrin. In other words, these are the two authorities in Klal Yisrael, whether Malchus or Torah. Mishrosha mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. Lefi shi efshal yishuv ni adam mibli shi yasech neim roish al acherim asois mitzvosei lokaim zirosa. You cannot have a society without having somebody on head, on top. Mibnei shedeos min adam chalukim zeh mizeh. People think differently. Laskimu kulam loilin das achas as dam kol advarim. They'll never agree on any one thing. Mitoch kach yeitzim mibneim habitul vasifa bipulos. Society will disintegrate if there's anarchy, because people are really not, don't agree, and you can't have agreement, and therefore society will not exist. You have to accept someone's das as the final arbiter. Sometimes the person's direction, guidance might be good, sometimes not. But he says, V'chol zet tovin amachlokas. This is much better than just anarchy, shagor and bittul gamur. This is an incredible point that unfortunately we are too eager to disavow ourselves from. I guess in Eretz Yisrael, for instance, you have all sorts of rabbanim saying that they should disobey armies. When the army says to evacuate this, don't do that, don't do this, don't that. I think people don't realize enough the fire that you're fighting with when you preach anarchy, because anarchy, if you just look at countries that don't have a government or a highly ineffective government, and it's a light nightmare. You know, I don't want to be cynical, but if you have a government running it, even if they're bad, at least you know what to expect, and you know You could choose to be safe. If it's an anarchy, you don't know, because every faction has its own thing. Actus means you need to pick leadership. You need, obviously, to pick leadership that is honest and that is the best quality you can find. But then you have to go with it, right or wrong. You can debate the question. You can try to lobby. I think that's very legitimate. But once it's in place, the cost of disruption, disregarding, is a collapse of the fabric of society. And even if it's not talking about society, if it's a party, if it's people, group people, it's something very, very. It's something very important to remember that no matter, it should take a long look at where he's going with it. I was told over a story that someone told me. There was a boy in Lakewood, in Cheder, that came one Sunday morning, came to Cheder, and he told the Rebbe in class, "My father said that you got the Pshat the Medrash wrong. That's not the Pshat the Medrash." Now, I don't know who was right in Pshat the Medrash, but all I know is that the father just destroyed the class, destroyed the Rebbe, destroyed his kid's ability to ever learn. Because if you undermine authority, maybe the father's right on the Medrash. I don't know what the Medrash is. I couldn't say. But he's so wrong in the big picture. V'chein hala. Since this person is the one who has that job and that duty, we need not to make light of his kavod. Not to curse him, because of the Eidim. If you make light of the person, it becomes very easy to just disregard him. Because as a person builds in himself a bad habit, at the end of it, he does it. But machlokas olukamana hefsid hadim sevishvelo, and arguing on it will create a terrible hefsid. I remember Rabbi Folsom Levitz, Rabbi Chaim Levitz's son, told me that he was a young boy in Shanghai. He was at that time Rabbi Chaim Levitz's only son. He was Rabbi Chaim Levitz's pride and joy, also when he got older, and he remembered a vivid scene where Reb Chaim, he was a young boy, I guess 10 or 11. Reb Chaim had hired a melamed to teach him there. And the melamed was teaching him. It was on the same table. There was a small room with one table. Reb Chaim was sitting at one end of learning. And the melamed was teaching his son, Reb Fol. And Reb Fol asked his melamed the following question. If a shoel who the Torah was so strict with. The halacha is that a shoel who takes an animal and uses it, and it's meisamach malachtoi, it dies because in the use that you're supposed to use it, you're pater. It's the almost the only instance that a shoel is pater. So he asked him, "What will be by a shoel mechina?" So his melamed answered him, "My dear son, it's a simple kal v'chomer. If a shoel who is so chomer is pater, certainly a shoel mechinam." Now, the answer is nonsense, because a shoel mechinam is not supposed to use the object, and if he uses the object, he's a lot more chayim. Rabbi Fol, when it said over the story, he said, he was young, didn't understand, but he saw in his father that his father looked like he was ready to explode. And Reb Chaim Shlavitz had a temper. He was very, very emotional, and he could explode. And Reb Chaim held himself in and didn't say a word. Rabbi Fall had an understanding of the story. It had to do with this person's need to be a Malamed and so on and so forth. I also think that it was Reb Chaim's point that, okay, this is one particular Narishkeit, but if I let loose a Malamed and I destroy him, then my kid has no Malamed. You know, this Malamed does 95% a good job. Yes, this thing is an absurdity, it's not smart enough to hop it, but the price that I pay for it, I mean, people are so eager to call for disobeying government because, you know, this, that, or the other thing, the understanding of the price you pay for it in the long run, and that's why Elohim lo sekal nasan osod, you're not supposed to say things bad about leadership because you're undermining it. It's not that leaders are perfect, it's not that they're great, but you're undermining something and then you're destroying society itself. Yeah.
So really, what would be, I mean, is there a fine line here in between criticism versus
following? A person can approach authority and try to present his case, or a person has to reach a conclusion, you know, I think we need to start thinking of switching leadership. There's also a decision like that. But understand that the constant, and there's also a difference, say, you know, there may be other approaches, you know, so on, but when there's a constant refrain and it's very negative, then you create all these issues. It's not pashut. Okay, we'll hold it here.